It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, to preview all areas of the upcoming football season, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
We're back for episode 8. Week 3 or week 4, Tyler, depending on whether you're at the AAA in Little Rock,
yeah,
or you're in DeQueen, Arkansas.
If you're Tyler Massey and Tony Stowers, that's or exactly, Greg Revels.
That's exactly right.
He doesn't like the week 0 thing.
He does not.
Yeah.
He does not. He's starting a petition. If you see that around like Pruitt's or Walmart, mm-hmm, go ahead and sign the petition to eliminate week 0.
There we go. Yeah.
Not eliminate it, but change the wording and just have 11 weeks instead of...
I'd be fine with that, honestly.
It would be less confusing.
Absolutely.
It doesn't take much
to
confuse.
Naming these podcasts.
That's exactly right.
That's right. Episode 8, we are back with the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Leopard Care Clinic, Ayers Cleaners, Simple Simons, and the entire Walker dynasty. And we're joined right away with Coach Richard Bell here in studio to talk about the Leopards. Of course, they just had an open date last week, so we're looking forward to this week. How are you doing today, man?
We're doing good. Yeah, we've come off the bye week, had a good rest, got some of the boys that were banged up healed up and fixed some of the things we saw on film, and got to work on that. But yeah, coming off a good week.
Good.
Well, Coach, how did y'all handle the bye week? Was it less physical? Was it more mental? I know that you had told us last week that it was going to be more working on us instead of working on Hope. But how did y'all handle it?
The boys handled it well. Like I said, we did a lot of film work, a lot of conditioning, a lot of weights. Didn't bang on each other as much, you know, try to heal up those bruises and those sore muscles and joints and whatnot. But, yeah, no, it was a good week, a lot of good learning week. Focused on our defensive line, doing their reads and their read keys, and our offensive line, make sure they're making the right calls on what to block and what they're seeing that we're not seeing, and ways that we could help them get better.
What about an update on our injury situation? Any better, any worse?
Well, it got a little worse after Nashville. We lost Ramiro Bahena, our starting, 6'2", 300-pound D lineman. He broke his thumb and has actually went yesterday to get a MRI to see if, he may need to have surgery. So we went from 3 starters to 4 starters out. Got an update on Jackson Van Winkle. He will not be back for the season.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had a midfoot injury that's going to keep him out for the rest of the season. I don't suspect Ramiro Bahena coming back. They're going to have to put his thumb straightened out in a cast. So anytime anything straight out, like a finger or a thumb, there's no plane. Anytime they can put it, a cast, a lower arm, something like that, you may be able to wrap it up. But a thumb or a finger that they have to straighten out, sometimes you can't have that come back. We're going to be down 4 starters going into Hope. But like I said, anything happen on Friday night, it's always next man up. And so that's what we're going to do.
Well, DeQueen and Hope have played some really good ball games, at least since I've been in Arkansas. The games have been very competitive. This looks to be a much improved Hope team.
Yeah, Hope's, again, they have a lot of returning starters back. They have, their quarterback, Patterson, he's a 3-year starter, threw for 1,700 yards last year, threw against 4 on us, 4 touchdowns last year against us. He's good in the pocket. They got that little bowling ball running back, and I think his name's Lindsey.
That's correct.
He's about 5'7", 195, runs low. He doesn't have to lower his shoulder because he's already there. their offensive line's much improved. They got, a couple of 270, 275 guys on the line. They move a lot better in the pass with Hope. They've had good backs and good skill guys, but the line just hasn't been there. This year they have that. On defense, they got Gully, which is a stud linebacker. He's probably one of the best ones in the conference, and that's saying a lot with the guys that we have playing.
Right.
They got a really good defensive end in Ortiz. So, yeah, they have a lot of weapons, and they play a lot of close games. So it's going to be a tough one for us, but I think we can dial it up and have a good ball game.
Coach Turner, I don't know how many years it was back, but he has seemed to change the culture there a little bit. He's done a great job. I think he came from Bryant, if I'm correct?
He was. I remember coaching with him at when he was at Ashdown.
Yeah.
And so he's been at Ashdown. I think Bryant was before Ashdown.
Right.
And then he went from Ashdown to Hope. I think he's been at Hope. I think this is maybe his fifth season. Maybe yeah. I guess you know. And Hope's always been that team that's you know had great amount of talent. You just got to corral it.
Right.
And I think he's doing a good job of that.
He sure is. And looking at the weak weather, it didn't end up delaying the game against Nashville, but it definitely had an effect on it. While the lightning in the background, stuff like that, it looks like Friday night's going to be maybe the first great football night to put on the pads.
Yeah, to me, a great football night is in between 45 and 55 degree weather. That's a great football night to me. But
it ain't going
to
be that.
Yeah. You know, I'd rather have that. But yeah, there's not going to be any weather that should bother us. You know, no rain delays or lightning. You know, a little bit of heat. But no, I think it should be a good night for Leopard football.
All right, brother, we appreciate you coming in and talking to us about how the Leopards handled the bye week. And what you see this week with the Hope Bobcats, and we wish you nothing but the best.
All right, go Leopards.
Go Leopards.
That was Coach Richard Bell in studio. We do need to take a second to talk about Harris Drug and Gifts, of course, over at 205 DeQueen Avenue in beautiful downtown DeQueen, your hometown pharmacy. Been in DeQueen for over 50 years for a reason. So when you go in to pick up your prescriptions or other pharmaceutical finds, well, you can pick up a lot more than that. Maybe even bring something home for the family. There's gifts for literally everybody, including the baby, your wife. You can go buy and get some Razorbacks merch for the hub.
Well, and I thought you put it so well last week, maybe better than Greg and I have put it, but you go in there and it's like you're stepping back into Americana.
Yeah.
It is a really cool experience. If you've never gone in Harris Drug and Gifts, even if you don't have prescriptions there yet, then just go in there and look around. It's really cool.
It's that beautiful downtown storefront with the RX on the glass.
Yeah.
You know, and you walk in, it kind of has that old-time feel a little bit of, you know, those older drugstores that, you know, behind the counter, you'd be like, hey, I haven't seen you for a couple months, you know. Like,
yeah. If they just had an ice cream soda fountain back there,
yeah,
it would be just, yeah.
Yes, it'd be perfect. So Harris Drug and Gifts.
I don't eat ice cream anymore.
Yeah. So if you go anywhere, get your healthcare services, they ask you where to send your pharmacy. Tell them Harris Drug and Gifts. And if you are unable physically to pick up your prescription, they do free local delivery as well. So they cover it all.
They got it going on.
Absolutely. Razorbacks Corner as well. Perfect place to pick up Razorbacks gifts for the Hogs fan in your life, which is all of us, right? Even if you don't live in Arkansas, you got to be a Hogs
Arkansas
fan.
Arkansas is my third favorite team, Tyler.
There you go.
Marshall, whoever's playing West Virginia, and in Arkansas.
There you go. Whoever's playing. I like that. Yeah, All right. Well, we're going to talk about Horatio. We should have Philip Fields calling in just a minute. Now, I ran the board during the Ashdown game, but holy cow, did the Horatio game sound exciting.
Boy, it did. It was back and forth. It came down to the end. The Lions won the game everywhere but the scoreboard. Looking at the stats, the Lions ran 29 more plays than Lafayette County. They had 132 more yards. They had 348 rushing yards, almost 200 yards more than Lafayette County. Looked like, and we'll get to talk to Philip here in a little bit, 12 penalties. Probably, they definitely didn't help. And, boy, it looked like a game that the Lions could have easily won on homecoming weekend.
Yeah. So was it mostly the penalties, you think, or was the Lafayette County defense just on point?
Well, with Horatio scoring 38 points, I'm going to say it was the penalties that set them back, that they probably could have scored more than that. But we'll find out more from Philip. And I think they got a Lafayette County team that was hungry. They were 0-3 coming in. And a back and forth game. Horatio had got a win earlier in the year against Foreman, so now they both come out of that game 1-3.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to him because it sounded like until the very last second, it was very, very exciting.
And he's very descriptive.
That's right. We don't have to wait any longer. We got Philip Fields on the line.
Absolutely. Jeff Tuttle, by the way, has joined us in studio. I've always wanted to say this, Tyler.
Yeah.
I used to watch the NBC Nightly News when I was young with David Brinkley and John Chancellor. And every once in a while, David or John would take a night off.
Yeah.
And they would say, and David has the night off. Or David is on assignment. Greg Rebels has the night off.
Yes. All right. He's not assignment.
No, he's not on assignment.
Could I be Tom Brokaw, maybe?
You could be Tom Brokaw. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. A little role-playing here in the podcast.
Yeah, here we go.
Hey, well, I'll tell you, man, it sure looked like the Lions won that game everywhere but on the scoreboard.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I went down to the field after the game was over, and I hugged some necks and patted some backs and said, "Hey guys, you didn't lose that game. You got outscored, but you didn't lose."
Well, you know, Philip, I appreciate Coach Castleman forwarding us the stats from the game. The Lions, and I don't know if you've seen the stats yet or not. The Lions ran 29 more plays than Lafayette County. They had 132 more total yards. They had 348 rushing yards.
Okay.
And Leighton Ochoa, 23 carries, 175 yards, 4 touchdowns. And boy, it just the thing that looked like that may have cost the Lions, and of course I wasn't there, so I don't know, is 12 penalties.
Yeah. The penalties hurt for sure. You know, Riley Williamson didn't have a bad night passing either. He was 8 for 12 and 85 yards.
Yeah.
He had 10 rushes for 70 yards, so Riley definitely contributed well from the quarterback spot. It was really interesting at the game. We did a lot better job flexing from the eye to the spread. And when we go into the eye, Rylan Pickett runs at fullback and Leighton Ochoa comes in at tailback. And that's where a lot of Ochoa's yardage came from. And then Drake Angel comes in at the slot when we're in the eye. And the ability of Coach Castleman to flex from that eye to that spread was really, really effective in that game. You know, part of what you're seeing there on the score, though, too, Lafayette County really struggled with really putting together effective drives, but they did have some great athletes. Two of the scores that Lafayette County had, one was it wasn't actually a fumble. The ball never hit the ground, but they stripped a running back at about the 5-yard line and returned it for a touchdown, and then they returned a kickoff for a touchdown. So
yeah.
Whenever you have two touchdowns like that, it's going to make for a long night in terms of trying to even up the score.
That is definitely hard to overcome. The Lions are on the bye this coming week. You know, we just got through talking to Coach Richard Bell, the Leopards, on how they handled their bye week. Oddly enough, the Leopards did not play Friday night, and they had the best night of anybody in Southwest Arkansas of all the
right.
teams that we're covering. But he talked about that the Leopards worked more on the Leopards than they did the Hope Bobcats during the bye. Is that what you anticipate from Coach Castleman?
Yeah. You know, they'll be taking the bye week off. And that's fortunate. You know, fortunately, the really amazing thing about this season is the Horatio program's done a great job on conditioning for these guys, and we really haven't lost anybody per se for injuries. Trey Mason was out with a shoulder injury at the beginning, but other than that, we haven't had much in the way of injuries. So we've done really well, and he'll have the opportunity to prepare and kind of move things forward. Our offense executed really well. Do some more polishing, and I think, you know, the second half of the season, I think we're looking at really getting some good performance. You know, if we just watch those penalties, and sometimes there's some frustrations, you know, from the press box. And I always say that I always give the officials the benefit of the doubt because they can't be everywhere. And sometimes from the press box, you have a little bit better perspective. But there were some no calls that really frustrated the players, and you know, but that's just one of those things that they have to be coached to work through. You know, you can't get angry and get frustrated just because there's no calls. You gotta play through that, and ultimately the best team's going to win.
Well, you know, to the surprise of absolutely no one, our Horatio State Bank, Horatio Lion player of the game is going to be Leighton Ochoa, 23 carries, 175 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Can you tell us a little bit about the young man?
Yeah, Leighton's he's a good runner. He's got quite a bit of speed. He can run tough on the inside, but he does a good job picking his holes. Now, Leighton Ochoa is definitely he was definitely my player of the game. True, I mean, watched him, but I'll also say this: a big part of Leighton Ochoa's success is Rylan Pickett running at fullback. Right. Pickett does a fantastic job of sealing that backside line whenever they're running through. If they get a good gap, Rylan can seal that backside, and that gives Leighton Achola another 5 to 10 yards on that run. So you're talking about a duo when you're running out of the eye of Leighton Achola and Rylan Pickett, and that's where you're getting your yards, is that team right there.
Well, and another strong candidate, at least in my eyes, was Riley Williamson, the young sophomore quarterback. He was, as you mentioned, 8 of 12, 85 yards. But he also had 10 tackles on defense. So it looks like that he's a young man that the Lions can look forward to having. We'll be talking about the next couple of years.
Oh, yeah, his defense, there was one series where he made four consecutive tackles on defense. And, of course, he's coming out of the backfield, so you'd rather the linebackers or the linemen be making that tackle, but he was making great hits and getting right in there. Riley Williamson, Drake Angel are both great performers coming out of that defensive backfield.
You know, I know that it was homecoming game for the Lions. How was the atmosphere there Friday night?
Oh, it was great. It was great. Everybody really, really enjoyed the game. We had a big turnout. The stands were full. Great entertainment. Yeah, it was great, and homecoming was really good. And everybody agreed they hated that we came up backwards on the scoreboard, but it was a great game. I mean, you had to stay there till the end. I mean, literally when you come down to the last play, you know, Lafayette County had it with 6 seconds left on the clock. You know, they throw a pass down to the 15-yard line. Time runs out on the clock, you know, and play's still underway. You know, when it's that kind of a game, even if you lose, it's an exciting game to watch.
Yeah, exciting game to call, I imagine, as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I will tell you what, anybody that doubts that the Lions' trajectory isn't headed upwards and that they're on the right track, you need to spend 5 minutes with Coach Lance Castleman. He's as solid a guy as I've met.
Oh, absolutely. He's making that his he's making Horatio his home. He's definitely building great relationships with his players and with his community, and I think they definitely are on the right track. And just watching the level of maturity where they've come from since playing Foreman to now is really remarkable. I mean, they're and that's the thing. If all you do is look at the scores, but you don't actually get an opportunity to watch the games, you don't see that development. And they have really come along a long ways.
Philip, this is Jeff Tuttle.
Yeah.
I do the play-by-play for Derek's. And back to the player of the game, Leighton Achola. I told Tony and Greg after the Derek's Horatio game when I sat in with them, I said, they've got to get this kid the ball. I mean, we watched him chase down probably Derek's fastest player, and, you know, he didn't get the carries on offense I thought he would. And it looks like maybe somebody was listening because he got him this week, and he showed what he could do.
Which would be unique because nobody listens to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was, I guess, Derek's was the first time that we really flexed into that eye, and we had the success with it. So, yeah, I mean, you're definitely onto it. I mean, Elena Shaw, that combination of putting the fullback in there and outnumbering, everybody in the box with your offense, I mean, there's some strong play there.
Well, as an outlaw guy, I'm certainly glad they figured it out after that game.
Well, you know, outlaw guy, I mean, you know, Derek's got a great, great, great tradition. You got some great players. You got a great community support. I mean, we love playing. And I love coming over there and broadcasting because, I mean, I love you guys up there in the press box. We get to talk and visit, and, you know, we see each other about once a year, and I really enjoy coming over there to broadcast. It's a great place to drop into.
Yeah, it's always fun, and good luck to you guys the rest of the way.
All right, thank you.
And I think that's everything. But Philip, I did want to say, man, that was a great broadcast on Friday night. You and you guys just were very, very excitable down to the exact last moment. I unfortunately was in the other room running another game, but
right.
I felt the excitement from about, I don't know, 15 feet away from a little speaker.
It was
that's the thing. I mean, When the end of the game is not actually the end of the game until about 10 or 15 minutes after the game is over, you know.
Yeah.
Because it took the officials about 10 or 15 minutes to finally determine, and just very briefly, what happened there was that I can't remember where the white hat was at, but I want to say it was in the end zone. The official that was in the end zone declared a touchdown, and the linesman declared a fumble at the goal line.
Oh, man. Oh,
wow. It took them about 10 or 15 minutes, and they even looked at the game film that the teams were recording to try to make their decision. You know, they had to make the decision. Did he cross the plane before the fumble, or did the fumble occur, or did he have possession when he crossed the plane? So, you know, the officials had to work that out, and that was their decision. But yeah, when you go through that, yeah, you get pretty excited.
I'll tell you what, I know it's always a good game when you play-by-play guys stick around for a while, just jawn about how great that game was, because if you guys lose and it was a bad game, you're out pretty quick.
that short post-game show.
Yeah. We are on the road, buddy.
But yeah, that's right.
We were sticking around on that one.
Yeah.
Or great. If you win in a hostile environment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm just going to sit here and gloat.
I'm going to tell you, Greg Revels and I, on more than one occasion, have had the lights turned off on us in a press box.
Oh, I'm sure.
Magnolia comes to mind.
Yeah. I have this dream of beating Nashville and just staying in it. Just staying there.
Bringing a lunch, a cot.
We all can for that Nashville crowd. Yeah.
That's the one thing we all unite around.
Well, Philip, enjoy your week off. Of course, the Lions are enjoying an open date this week, but we'll talk to you next week, I'm sure, for the next episode.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for calling in, man.
You betcha. Y'all take care.
You too. Philip Fields, man. Philip Fields.
Hey, great interview every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
He is so excitable. I think I got to meet him last year for the first time. It's like all these play-by-play guys, I don't meet them for a while until they need technical assistance from me.
And with the end of that, y'all just lost all three Nashville listeners.
Yeah. That's, you know what? We can afford it.
To say that I root for Nashville now, and it's a long story that is probably too long to be told here. I do like to see them win in girls basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Their two girls basketball coaches are dear brothers of mine, and if they're not playing the Leopards, it's okay with me if they win. But not liking someone and respecting them is, and I respect them.
I respect them. Listen, they've got a great program, and you know sometimes you just root for an underdog.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works, you know, a little bit when you know. That's kind of how I look at it. And I'm not from around here. I stepped in here.
Well, me too. I've been here 13 years, but kind of that grind, that versus thing, that rival thing. I mean, it's even I've been hanging around Greg Revels enough I've got it. Whatever it is, like the flu, he give it to me.
Well, listen, we have no time to spare. We actually have Jim Cross on the line here to talk about the Panthers, and I think that that works out. How are you doing, Jim? Can you hear us?
Doing good. Doing real well.
Man, great, it's good to hear from you, Jim.
Oh, I always enjoy visiting with you guys. Of course, when you get beat 27-0, you don't have near as much to talk about.
Well, we had talked about this last week, that Idabel thought that they had one of their better teams in a while, and that y'all might be walking into a situation there that would be less than ideal, and I guess that's the way it turned out.
Yeah, they had three guys, their running back, Ravion Larry, and then Matrell Lopez, their wide receiver, and then their defensive end, Cunningham. They're as good as anybody I've seen in a long time. The Lopez young man at receiver, he returned punts as well. I mean, he was like he had something slick on his jersey. I mean, he was so elusive and so quick. And I even said on the radio, when we faked it to him, I was grateful, because that meant we don't throw it to somebody else.
Right.
I mean, he was good. And then Larry, the running back with the sprinter speed, we held him intact several plays. But there were three or four plays that, well, once he got in the open, he went 93 yards, and he could have gone 93 miles. I mean, he was as fast as anybody we've seen. And they had a defensive end, Cunningham, and we couldn't block him. I mean, he was 6'3", 230, long-armed, very athletic. And so those three guys themselves were a handful.
Well, and it sounds like that the Panthers could not get anything going on offense. Did the running game struggle again?
It got better. We were able to rush for around 100 yards, which is better than we've done the first couple games. But we would it's kind of, we'd shoot ourselves in the foot. There were a couple drives where we had five or six good plays, and then we'd have a penalty or snap the ball over the quarterback's head, and we just couldn't really put together a you know 8 or 10 play drive without mistakes. And so we at the end of half, I thought we were going to score, and then had a couple penalties and a fumble, and next thing you know, you know, we're having to punt. So right. We just never could really get a long drive together.
Wow. You know, as I was telling you, good friends with Jerry Falling. He is the associate minister at Bypass Church of Christ, but he's also the voice of the Warriors. Did you get a chance to meet him?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I would have liked to.
Yeah, you guys would have got along grand, just like you and I do. really, really good guy. He gave me all my information I had last week about the Warriors. Do you see the Warriors having a good season? That they're expecting to have one.
Oh, I don't know why they wouldn't. You know, anytime you've got that kind of skill at the running back and the wide receiver position, and their line, in my opinion, the line wasn't great, but it was adequate.
Yeah.
And with those kind of guys, I mean, you don't need much. And like I say, those two guys, Larry and Lopez, I mean, they're as good as anybody that you'll see in our conference. You know, they're Malvern-type athletes and Arkadelphia-type guys, Nashville-type guys. So, I mean, they're going to win a lot of games.
Mm. Our Horatio State Bank Ashdown Lion player of the game is Caleb Blankenship. Caleb had 9 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. He'll be put in the hopper for the area player of the game, mm-hmm. Tyler, and tell you what, I remember Caleb in our game with Ashdown, and he's hard to get a handle on.
Yeah,
he certainly is. When we did our little interview with him yesterday, before the interview, I was kidding him. I said, Caleb, we could really give you this award every week. We almost take him for granted, yeah. Just because he just plays well. He's as solid, a consistent guy as anybody that that we have, and he's going to give you the 8, 9, 10 tackles every game. And he's going to block well on offense, and he's throwing the ball. He had a couple of catches from the tight end position. You know, he's the number one long snapper in the state. He was at Mississippi State this last weekend on a recruiting visit. And so he's has multiple D1 offers as a long snapper. And yeah, he's as good as you get.
I'll tell you what, man, if you get good enough at that long snapping, that's an easy way to earn a college scholarship. And it's an easy way to play NFL football, I'm telling you, because you can't hit him. You can't hit the long snapper. So he can focus on getting that ball back there on kicks and punts. But it's so key. The only time you notice the long snapper is when the snap is bad. Mm. Kind of like the same way with offensive linemen. And sounds like this young man does a good job. You know,
to add to it, fellas, he's got an opportunity. He's in the running to be the valedictorian of the class.
Now that's the kind of stories you like to hear, too.
Yeah, so other than that, he doesn't have much going on. I mean, he's a great fella, great guy.
Jim, I've got Jeff Tuttle, the play-by-play guy for the Derek's Outlaws, here with me, and maybe he has a thought or eight.
Well, I don't keep up with the Ashdown much with everything going on, so I don't know a whole lot about it, but I was looking at the Waldron game that's coming up.
Yeah. And,
what are your expectations for that ball game? It looks like they got a few athletes like this. I mean, I hadn't watched any film, but Kaysen Davis.
Well, the unfortunate thing about Kaysen Davis, we actually scrimmaged the Leopards. I say we actually scrimmaged Waldron in our benefit game, and we handled him pretty easily.
Okay.
And I'm standing on the sidelines, and I'm doing stats, and one of the chain guys at Waldron, we strike up a conversation. I'm pretty chatty. And
we know.
Yeah, I don't have to tell you guys. He was Kaysen Davis' dad, and he was explaining to me that he had what was probably a season-ending injury, and it really hurt the Bulldogs.
Oh man!
Got it in practice, and I was telling him, I said, "Well, your son is mentioned real prominently in Hootens," and he said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, Hootens. It's a magazine about Arkansas high school football." So he got somebody to run the chain for him, and he went to I think it's a harps over there. Mm-hmm. And during the ball game, because he was afraid that they were going to sell out of the Hootens. so he picked one up.
They speak highly of him.
Yeah, they sure do. They sure do. and made a friend up there. So I told him if they didn't have any at Harps that I would I'd get him one here in DeQueen and mail it to him. But he ended up finding one up there. Waldron's had a rough season. The Bulldogs might be exactly what the Panthers need. You don't want to take anybody for granted, though, Jim, right?
No, not at this point, especially after two losses in a row. I mean, in some ways, that's a blessing because we won't take them lightly after these two losses. And maybe it's a kind of time to get ready and get set for the rest of the conference season. But what worries you about Waldron is two things. They've got nothing to lose at this point. Number one, they're going to be at home. And then number three, they play the type of offense, if you get behind, they can run clock and put pressure on you. And you almost feel, it's almost like when you play a team in basketball that holds the ball.
Yeah.
And you feel like every possession becomes tense instead of just playing your game. But, the key to be, we get ahead, you would think that we would be in great shape, and you would think we have better athletes. But I don't know, fellas. When you lose a couple, you just kind of never know how your team's going to respond. But I expect the Panthers will respond positively.
Well, I can tell you this. They have a very nice facility, and we were treated top-notch. So those are a couple things you can look forward to. I've got some suggestions off air if you're looking for a place to eat. So.
Okay. Yeah. I'm always looking for a place to eat. Yeah. Daryl and I've already run through that process. That's the most important thing.
On the flip side of that offense they run that works the clock. You know, we've seen that at Derek's the past two or three years before we got our coach that we have now, and DeQueen sees it now. If the Panthers get the lead, that offense they run is also hard to catch up in.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly. It's a catch 22, and that's what you having in talking to Coach Richardson. Typically, he defers, but anytime, like when he plays DeQueen or he plays Waldron, a team that wants to run the clock and wants to slow it down, typically he'll take the ball and with the idea, hey, let's score first,
right?
And let's put the pressure on them.
Yeah. Well, man, we wish nothing but luck coming up for the Panthers. Of course, go Panthers here at Waldron this week, this Friday night. So we'll talk to you next week, I'm sure, to see how the game went.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Always enjoy the visit.
Always do.
Jim Cross.
Take care.
You too, man. Always great to talk to him. I love listening to his broadcast. You know what we got to do between all you guys, you three? Have Greg in here, Jim Cross on the phone. Candidly talk about the worst facilities to do play-by-play.
Oh.
I think that'd be a pretty good.
We could do one episode on that.
Don't got to name names, unless you want to.
But there's always
it would be a lot more fun if we did.
Yeah.
There's always some that treat you right, though, too.
There's places you look forward to going to do a game, and then there's places where you got to take some wasp spray.
Yeah.
Maybe a stick to prop up a window, things like
maybe
that.
Maybe a fan. Yeah.
Maybe a fan.
Sweat towels.
There you go.
Jim Cross is dedicated. I'll tell you this. He was at Camden and doing one of the basketball games over there for the Panthers, and he had no reception. Or no, it wasn't Camden. I don't quite remember where it was.
Well, but it could have been Camden because it's sketchy there. I think they're big AT&T people, and he's probably a Verizon guy.
Exactly. True American. We had to ditch all the play-by-play gear and just call from the outside of the gym, watching through that little slotted window with the chicken wire through, and call the game from that.
I had to do a softball game at Arkadelphia that way as well one time. They didn't have power around their softball field at that time, and I didn't have 300 feet of extension cord, so I called a girls' softball game on my cell phone.
On your phone, sure do what you got to do sometimes.
We used a cell phone in week zero, as y'all like to say.
Yeah, no, we don't like to say.
At Falk.
Oh, really?
This year.
Oh, no.
In the 110-degree heat.
No power?
Malfunction with our equipment.
Ah, I see.
We'll get into that later, too. Okay.
Technical difficulties. We're having technical difficulties.
Oh, man. Well, listen, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, DeQueen Animal Hospital, brought that interview to you with Jim Cross. DeQueen Animal Hospital, of course, at 1690 Highway 70 West here in DeQueen. Give them a call, 870-642-8387, open Monday through Friday. And, man, great, great place to bring your animals, pets, livestock, it doesn't matter.
I've not shared this on the air, and I hope Dr. Martin doesn't mind me sharing this, and I may cry. We lost our Pickapoo, Ted, about 18 months ago or so, and I wanted to do, you know, something to kind of, we had him cremated, and he's in our bedroom now, but wanted to do something to kind of play it forward a little bit, and I took my medicine down there that Ted had taken and told him to give it to people who maybe didn't have the money to pay for the medicine that Ted was taking. And he told me to come around. He took me into one of the patient rooms, and he sat there and cried with me about my dog.
Oh, so, man.
That is, I mean, that guy loves animals.
Yeah, he does.
He loves dogs, cats, and...
big animals, too.
Yeah, big yeah. animals. It's just, I've always thought that they were top-notch.
Absolutely.
I just have so much respect for him. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to bring my animals anywhere else. Spay and neutering, flea and tick prevention, heartworm, and they even do some grooming as well. And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown. Again, Monday through Friday. Give them a call, 870-898-5181, and schedule an appointment today in Ashdown if you're a little closer there. We appreciate them so much. Dr. Martin, of course, bringing you sponsorships for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the air every week. So big thanks to DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. We have Jeff Tuttle in studio.
Yes, we do.
So we should probably talk about Dirks.
Let's talk about the Outlaws a little bit.
I can talk about them a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Something you know about.
Man, we appreciate you coming in and filling in for Greg today.
Southwest Arkansas football.
Greg Revels is on assignment.
Yeah. He wants to be Tom Brokaw.
Has the night off. I've just always wanted to do that, and now I got my chance.
Awesome. Well, Dirks, man, the Outlaws.
Conway Christian, Justin Kramer, and a great ball game is what it looks like, 16-14. Jeff, tell us what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically a two-point conversion was the difference in the ball game. I mean, they converted one that the Outlaws didn't, and that was the two-point difference in the final score. Now, you know, total yards, 251 yards, Conway Christian, 265 for Derek's. That's a pretty evenly matched game right there.
Yeah.
I was looking on my sheet here for the penalty yards because we had a lot of them. Over 100, as a matter of fact.
100 yards in penalties?
Wow. Yeah.
That's tough to overcome, man.
Yeah. And I've got it on here somewhere, but I can't find it.
The we talked about last week that Conway Christian was going to be a tough opponent. Mm. And it turns out Justin Kramer does a great job of dissecting your team and then adjusting his team to be the best they can be against yours. And you probably got a good view of that Friday night.
So, well, if it tells you anything, they held Jordan Hill to under 200 yards. The only team to do that this season. And Jordan was a little banged up. I mean, I think they said he had turf knee from Gurdon playing on the turf. And then you could tell he was having trouble walking and running, couldn't really straighten his leg out. But
right.
So there really is a big difference, huh?
Oh, there's a huge difference between playing on turf and grass. So much so that a lot of schools who, can afford it and if they do have AstroTurf, they have a place big at the places they're going to have to go play on grass. It is a big difference in the way the ball bounces. And then there's different AstroTurfs. Our AstroTurf is first class, top notch at DeQueen. You step on it, it has a good bit of give to it. It drains well, and I'm less impressed, we'll say that, with the AstroTurf, say, at Hope.
Yeah.
It's hard, but it's a lot older than the one at DeQueen. So there's even differences in the artificial surfaces and playing on grass.
Right. So Conway Christian really had a game plan. That's they like to do that, huh? A game plan.
they clogged the middle, tried to make the Outlaws get it to the outside, and you know, not really our game plan. I did find the penalties here. 6 offensive penalties for 109 yards.
Wow. So,
I mean, most of those are holding. Maybe a false start in there. But if you had 100 yards of that 265 yards total offense.
I mean, those penalties put you behind the chains is what they do, which not only gives you more yardage to have to get for a first down, it changes your play call.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to run a different play on 2nd and 7 than you are 2nd and 17.
Yeah.
So
how do you correct that?
Oh, I'm sure Coach Ernest will work on that this week.
Maybe a little conditioning.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, dang, no, it was a fun game to watch. I mean, you hate to come up on the short end of those, but it was non-conference. That's the one thing you can take out of it. I mean, it didn't affect your race to the playoffs, but conference season starts this week.
Yeah, Toe Thumper, Allure, Dirk's Outlaw player of the game, Kaysen Dugan, 8 tackles, 3 fumble recoveries, which I don't know if I've ever heard of a high school defensive player getting 3 fumble recoveries in
it's
a game.
Luck
a
at
blocked
that point.
Punt recovered for a touchdown. So, pretty good all around game by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, let's say that again. 3 fumble recoveries, a blocked punt that he returned or recovered in the end zone for a touchdown. Now, to those fumbles, that goes back like the penalty yards. Conway Christian had 6 fumbles and Outlaws recovered 5 of them. You win those ball games.
Yeah.
I mean, you're supposed to win those ball games.
Yeah. You sure are. And you got to hear Philip Fields talk about Lafayette County, who's coming up for you guys, right?
Yep. That's who we get this Friday night.
Right. And looks like a team that they're going to put some points on the board. It's somebody you're going to have to score with.
Yeah, I've got a few numbers for them. And first off, before, I just want anybody that listens to the radio broadcast Friday night to hear me say it here first so you're not confused Friday night. Starting quarterback for the Outlaws, Andrew Mack. Starting quarterback for the Lafayette County Cougars, Andrew Mack. So don't think I've been drinking on the way to the ball
you're
game.
You're going
or anything
Lafayette
like that.
And not Lafayette.
Yeah, I'm a Lafayette guy because they got on to me the first season I done it and told me I mispronounced it. So
you've been mispronouncing that ever since.
So I've just – it's a sticking
point. You're one
point
of them
now.
People.
Yeah. It's a sticking point now. So
that's that's a sign of a really good broadcaster.
It is.
And sometimes I'll even change it up
on them.
I'm
not from here, but I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes I'll even change it up on them and – say it a different way. You know?
Yeah. I like it. Well, that's going to be really confusing having 2 quarterbacks to Andrew Mack. Are they spelled
Good
the same,
with
too?
That.
They are spelled the same. In Hootens, I believe they call him A.J. Mack.
Okay.
But like on
is that, Huddle?
No, it's not Huddle.
Is it Scoreboard Live?
I forget what it is.
Scorebook Live?
I'm glad you forgot.
Looks
a little
but
like
anyway, you know, Andrew Mack and then Hootens, you know, he's not the quarterback in there, but everything I get here is quarterback stats. He's got 5 rushing touchdowns.
Right.
And he rushes for 162 yards a game. So he's going to run it from the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like Lafayette County – maybe more balanced than some of the teams you've been playing. They had 174 yards rushing against the Lions, 122 passing. So looks like they can do a little of both. Those teams tend to be the most dangerous.
Yeah.
And probably a little bit of confidence coming off the win, Ruin and Horatio's homecoming Friday night.
Yeah, the Cougars, they'll be 1-3 on the season, I believe. Outlaws 2-2.
Yeah.
And it'll be at their place. So.
Yeah.
It's a conference game, and it's a big game because it's the next game.
That's right. That is right.
Well said. All right, man. Well, we went over Kaysen Dugan, who, wow. I mean, that's an incredible.
He'll be put in the hopper for the player
of the area.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Very cool, man. Well, we should take a minute to talk about Dr. Randy Walker, of course, and Leopard Care Clinic, of course, and Ayers Cleaners. And Simple Simons as well. And I'm going to start off with Simple Simons personally because it's my favorite. I'm just going to say it. 870-642-4103. Simple Simons, dine-in, carry-out, delivery, you name it. They do it over at Simple Simons. I enjoy their buffet once a month about. because I'm trying to, you know, not become over 300 pounds. That's my thing. If I get into 300,
it's
fine.
Good to have goals. To
yeah, yeah, exactly. Or more a limit, I think is the idea there.
So you're saying I need to try the buffet.
Absolutely.
Once every 2 months.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That, my recommendation there. No, $8.99, all you can eat over at Simple Simon's. Great pizza, amazing salad bar. You know, Greg keeps saying you get wings at the. I don't. Yeah,
maybe just Greg gets wings.
Well, Greg,
he's a pretty important guy, you know, around.
Important or like butthead? I don't remember like what. Like it. Well,
sometimes there's a fine line between those two things.
Yeah, but complaining Nancy is another one you could say that, like, you know, he gets
you
wings.
You can take your pick of those three descriptions of Greg Rebels.
I don't know him that well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the type, he could return a car to a dealership the next day.
Yeah, and they would take it back just to get rid of
it. Yeah, here's my receipt. And probably has.
Yeah. So he gets the wings at Simple Simon's. I don't know about y'all. You know, you could try it out. Who knows?
Well, maybe we could talk to Angie and maybe you and I could go and eat wings with
her. That's right. Yeah. The wings there are fantastic. I get those once in a while as well. And when I get them, I say, I want the large, right? I want the large rings.
Especially if you and I are split, then we definitely want the large.
I'm thinking two larges here, but when we get them, it's like 5 pounds of wings. So then it becomes, that's why I might just have to go with the medium next time.
Yeah,
the regular size.
Drop the rest of these off at Tony's house.
Yeah, that's right. They also cater all your sports events as well. So if you're looking at hosting the UFC fights, the big boxing match coming up, NFL Sunday, doesn't matter. They can cater it with their ridiculously huge catering events like the Beast Feast that feeds 25 to 30 people, the Loaded Sports Deal that feeds 20, massive salad trays, garden salad trays, and their salad bar is fantastic over at Simple Simon's. And then, of course, Leopard Care Clinic as well, by Dr. Randy Walker. Their goal with Leopard Care Clinic is to help improve the lives of DeQueen School District children and faculty by bringing essential services to them where they need them most, which is on campus. Leopard Care Clinic, supporting students' success because healthy students are better learners.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
How many high schools do you think have that?
Not many.
I would agree.
That slogan makes it really easy to do a live read for them. It sounds like, don't I sound really smart and good doing that?
You do. You've got that voice. Who was the guy that introduced Johnny Carson? Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon.
Give me an Ed McMahon vibe.
Yeah.
Or maybe he could give you a
Do you know who Ed McMahon is?
Of course. Oh, course.
Okay. He could give you a Here's Tony.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of a Don Pardo guy myself.
Yeah, that's cool.
Jimmy Fallon!
And then lastly, Dr. Randy Walker, 777, that's their motto. They're open 7 days a week from 7 to 7. And if you can't get in there on time, you can still use their call provider 24/7 after hours call provider. Just call 870-584-3000, option 6, and they'll be able to help you out. Dr. Randy Walker, they have you covered. Shall we talk about Foreman?
Let's talk a little bit about the Gators. Came up against a really formidable Fout team Friday night and dropped at 61-12. Coach Lynch, Greg got to talk to him this weekend, said Falcons just a superior team offensively and defensively. Rough night for the Gators, but at least they got to play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's what's most important, I think, right now is getting these guys some
play time.
Yeah,
you know, we talked about that stat last week. Up until Friday night, everybody else had played 148 minutes.
Yeah.
And the Gators have played 52.
Yeah.
And you worked your, you know, off season. You the month of August, if you're a high school football player, the month of August is almost miserable.
Yeah.
Especially in Southwest Arkansas when it's 123 degrees.
They're going to be facing teams that have been gritty and battle hardened while they have very little field time.
And they are in a really good conference.
Yes.
You could make the argument that the 3-2A is the best 3A or 2A conference in Arkansas. So
yeah,
just a lot of cards stacked against the Gators.
They've had it rough, and the first time, their first game canceled, of course, was due to sickness. That's definitely understandable. The second time it got canceled, you know, when we were all at a game, and you know how the officials, it's about, the game is, everybody's there to watch them. That's the whole point there, right? That they get to go up and down, and you know, everybody watches them. So they decided that they didn't want to be on the field any longer.
They didn't want to stick around. It makes for interesting, you know, because you know the boys want to play, you know the mm-hmm. coaches want to play, you know the fans who paid want to watch a ball game.
Yeah,
and everybody leaves disappointed except the five or six guys that was supposed to call a game.
That's right.
And I don't know. It's almost inexplicable to me. Maybe somebody will provide us with some clarity at some point about why what happened. But
I did on my show today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What? I'm sorry I wasn't listening.
We roasted them pretty hard, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, hey, I don't know.
They deserve it.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I'm thinking. And, again, I wasn't there. But, you know, just hearts go out to the former Gators, of course. And we had a few people reach out and say, I was listening to the podcast. Or on the radio broadcast, I had no idea.
Yeah,
that they literally have half the time, not even that other. Well,
a third
of the play time that the other teams have. So, man, I'm looking forward to see how it goes further with the Foreman Gators. Basically,
well, it doesn't get any easier this week.
Yes,
as they draw the Mineral Springs Hornets.
That's going to be rough.
I haven't heard anybody. And Jeff, you can elaborate on this. Have you heard anybody else pick a champion of 2A that wasn't Mineral Springs?
Not at this point, I haven't.
Yeah, me either. They are stacked, and I imagine they could be playing a class or two up and still be winning a lot of football games.
Right.
But as a guy that's going to our team's going to see them down the road. I want to keep talking them up too. So
yeah,
well, like for a team you might send them the link over there to listen to the podcast.
Well, I share it every week. So my two friends from Mineral Springs, they probably do listen.
Yeah. Well, I don't know much about high school football in the area and this and that, but the one mistake Mineral Springs can make is underestimating the Foreman Gators because they do have the taste for blood and righteousness right now.
Well, that's exactly right.
You never know, man. And you never know what happens on a Friday night.
The things that make Mineral good, they're very strong. I think they have something ridiculous like 18 returning starters from last year. They are stacked.
Yeah.
They are strong and athletic. Some teams are one or the other. Mm-hmm. They are both. It'll take the Gators' best effort and probably a lackluster effort on Mineral Springs' part, the Hornets' part, for it to even be a good ball game.
Right.
Would y'all agree with that?
Absolutely. Yes,
absolutely.
Okay.
Well, I'm excited to see how it goes down. That's kind of episode 8 a little bit. Jeff, you did a great job. I don't know if you want to step in for Greg Revels more on a regular basis.
Well, it just depends on whether or not he needs me to. Well, right. one quick thing before I get off here, and you can edit me.
No, we got all the time.
You can edit me out if you need to. But a segue from the Falk Foreman game, I talked to Falk's coach yesterday, and, you know, he talked about that and said they were basically the same thing, the dominant team. That Foreman had no answers for him. Now, where I talked to him at was at the 3A district golf tournament that they were participating in, and I'd like to give a shout-out to my nephew from Bismarck, Riley Tuttle. Shot the low score of 77, won the tournament, and he was the medalist.
What? Oh, so, man, that is awesome.
We've also got to talk about the Gator of the game, the Horatio State Bank Foreman Gator of the game. Brody Bearden scored a touchdown playing fullback and led the defense all night. Man, congratulations, Brody. You are the Horatio State Bank Foreman Gator of the game. And he also goes in the hopper for Player of the Week, Tyler.
That's right.
We may have to turn the mic off and have a discussion about this because we have a couple of dominant performances and I'm kind of torn about who should get this thing.
I'm with you.
I'm not.
No. No, it's going to your nephew, right?
Player of the game. Absolutely. Yeah, congratulations, Riley.
Yeah, congratulations, Riley. I like it. We're hashing this out live.
I'm telling you, there was almost a fist fight here.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're going to do it live because that's what we do. We go on the air.
Yeah.
All right? Listen here.
Here's the predicament we're in.
All right.
And If Cason Dugan for the Outlaws, 8 tackles, 3 fumble recoveries, a blocked punt recovered for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And Leighton Ochoa for the Lions, 23 carries, 175 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Both very deserving.
Yes.
Well, let me put the pressure on you then, since I'm just sitting here. Have y'all ever done co-area players?
Oh.
I think that's probably the direction I would go, because those are two outstanding performances.
Yeah. On the defensive side, you just don't see 3 fumble recoveries.
I've never seen that. I have not.
And then 175 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns is that's a big night for anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to go with Co Pilgrims Pride, Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, players of the area, and we're going to go with Leighton Ochoa from the Horatio Lions, 23 carries, 175 yards, 4 touchdowns. And Cason Dugan, 8 tackles, 3 fumble recoveries, and a block punt that he recovered for a touchdown. Congratulations, guys, and keep it up. Area-wide, it was a tough night for our Southwest Arkansas teams. As we mentioned, they all lost other than the Leopards, who were off. But these two young men had very good nights.
Yeah, they did. And that's just a sleeper hit, man. 3 fumble recoveries, block punt, recover for touchdown. I'm not sure I've ever seen that before. So shout out to both guys. I like it. Co-player of the area.
Yeah.
That works.
It was
for
an unbreakable tie.
Yeah. It couldn't break.
We could have called Vice President Harris to break the tie like they do in the Senate.
That's right.
And the fist fight was avoided.
And the what?
Yeah, and the fist fight was avoided.
Yeah. Compromise.
Jeff was ready to scrap with
somebody. No, I'm not fighting. My fighting days are way behind me.
Here's the thing. The best compromise is when no one's happy.
I've always heard that.
We avoided that.
That's right.
All right, man. Well, that's episode 8 in the books of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Shout out to Greg Revels, who prepared a lot of this stuff for us and is
Once
gone
again,
today.
Greg Revels has the night off.
He has the night off. Not tonight, though. He's back with you.
That's exactly right. We'll be calling Cub Junior High action home against the Bobcats. So by the time you hear this.
Yeah, I'm saying tonight. They're hearing this tomorrow or Friday.
Well, it's okay. They need to know that Greg's okay, and he will be back into Queens. So,
yes.
You know.
That works. That works.
And so
yeah, just get the news a little
if
late.
If you missed Greg Revels today, he is coming back to do the ball game tonight. At least that's what he told me.
Yeah.
So,
and in real time, you should have went to the ball game last night.
That's right. Thanks for cleaning that up for me. Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Great episode. Shout out to everybody who called in, of course. And I do want to take a moment just to remind everybody, again, big thanks for listening and checking out the Facebook page, all the social medias, and whether you listen live on Facebook, Spotify, or directly on the website, thewashitapodcasts.com. Well, we greatly appreciate it. All the numbers are looking really, really good. So feeling confident, feeling good. Episode 7 in the books, and glad to continue doing this for you guys. And again, we just really want to give a space where we can give shout outs to the kids, the coaches, everybody who does so much hard work here in Southwest Arkansas for our high school football sports. And so again, you can listen live, Facebook, thewashitapodcast.com, Spotify. I believe we are on Amazon. We're hoping to get into iTunes, but it's been a lot more difficult than we could have thought. So that should be on the way, though. That's on the roadmap for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. So again, more interaction, go and like us on Facebook if you haven't yet. We definitely appreciate it. And we appreciate all of our sponsors as well, like Harris Drug and Gifts at 205 DeQueen Avenue. Also, DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. And of course, our title sponsors, Dr. Randy Walker. He's also with Leopard Care Clinic, Ayers Cleaners, Simple Simons. We couldn't thank you guys enough for all the continued support. So big thanks to the listeners and a big thanks to the sponsors as well.
If you listen to this Wednesday and you want to hear it again Friday,
yeah,
not sure why you would, but you might. We'll be on the KDQN 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., correct?
KDQN AM 1390, FM 104.5, KDQN FM 92.1, and KILX 102.1, The Good Path. You're going to hear us live 5 o'clock across all 4 stations. We appreciate you guys for listening, and Greg joining us next week, and hopefully Jeff's back next week as well.
Awesome.
Thank you all for having me.
Yep.
See you next week.
See you next week.